This episode of the comment section is brought to you by Captain Morgan Sliced. Since the dawn of bread, we've known the truth. Sliced is better. That's why new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail style flavors: pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus only.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
I was on a plane recently, and I was sitting in the exit row, and the flight attendant came and was doing the spiel of, you know, are you willing and able to help or whatever, stopped at me and goes, and are you older than 15? I was wearing a leather trench coat.
Inspector Gadget, are you 18 or older?
They're like, and what's under the coat? I'm like,
And welcome back to another episode of the Comment Section Show, starring me, your favorite, everybody knows me, who cares about me? On to the guests. Today we have the hilarious, the amazing, the talented EJ Marcus. Woo! Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Are you excited to be here?
I'm so excited.
Okay, good. Yeah. I'm glad. I was a little worried for a second. Yeah. Just kidding.
Okay, I'll fix everything.
I'm so excited to have you.
I'm stoked.
I'm a huge, huge fan of all your content. Been likewise. A fan for a while.
Same to you.
I hope you're not just saying that, EJ. No. I will fact check that.
No. No, it's real.
I'm so happy that you're here, especially being a fan of your content. My sister and I are both really big fans of your content. My sister used to send me your videos all the time. And I was like, oh, yeah, I follow him. I've been following him for a while. And she's like, he's so funny.
That's so awesome. That is my favorite when people are like, my family and I enjoy your stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
I sort of joke that I'm like a really family friendly comedian.
You are.
But, it feels so insane to say that, but I am. Yeah, I do.
You are.
I
like to I'm be... not, but okay. You are.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you are. I think you're, what I love most about your content is that, and for those of you who don't know, why don't you know, first of all, but second of all, I love that you have a very specific, like, niche, like, perspective on your skits a lot of times. And those are my favorite kinds of jokes. A niche joke that nobody gets unless you get it. That's my favorite kind of shit.
Oh, thank you so much.
You posted a TikTok, I remember so distinctly, and my sister sent it to me, and it was like someone who's very clearly afraid of their own cat. It's just a bunch of cuts of someone being like, well, no, like, I mean, that's just like, is it him or is it me as the owner? And they're like, oh, these scratches, they're just,
it's, you
she
know,
she does that. She likes to play.
So often with that kind of thing, I'm just like, I worry, you know, will it find its correct audience?
You're like, is if it, they is get it, just it me? They're going to laugh.
Yeah, if they've ever experienced something like this. I mean, it's also so related to, like, whatever my current, like, fixation is.
Yeah.
Like, with that kind of video, I'll just, like, immediately get a text from my partner, and they're like, so what's going on at home, babe?
So just checking in.
Are the cats giving you trouble?
So funny.
I'm like, what?
My sister and I are actually quoting a recent one of yours where you're talking about your recently unemployed roommate. Mm. And then they're like, oh, wet paint. Don't lean on that. Wet paint. I started a new project in the living room.
Yeah. Once again, life sort of imitates art as well.
I know that my sister and I keep quoting when you say, like, can I come in? And you're like, oh, and then you step forward and you're like, and that's 10,000 steps. I hit 10,000 steps today.
Oh, my God. Well, the 10,000 steps thing I just learned about. Have you guys heard of this?
No,
this
what is
like,
it?
You're supposed, like, I don't know. Somebody, well, honestly, on a different podcast that I was listening to, was like, you're supposed to walk 10,000 steps a day or something.
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. It's not
How
happening.
How would I get anything else done if I was hitting 10,000
exactly.
steps?
Exactly. You have to, that has to be your whole personality.
And if you don't have a job,
well,
very easy.
It's, I mean, and look,
it's very, very easy.
Guilty. Yeah.
I think
with the, I saw something similar to that, but I saw it on, I also saw a TikTok, me constantly being like, I think I saw a study once, and I'm talking about a TikTok.
I read a book.
Yeah, I once read this really long, thick, intellectual book, and it's just a bunch of TikToks I saw, but it was this girl talking about how she found out recently how much fiber you have to eat every day, or fiber and protein. And yeah, then she was like, and I think I have to quit my job. Like, I don't know how I'm going to get all of that done in one day.
Impossible.
The amount of protein you should be eating every single day.
Right. And then it's the sort time. Of like, and then what's the end goal? Right.
What's the goal?
Full of protein.
Yeah. Where are we going with that? At what point does it stop?
Right.
That kind of niche humor is like some of my favorite kind of humor.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. I love a niche, very specific joke. And then I love a joke that's so stupidly obvious, like a Joe Mama joke, huge fan, or like a Ligma, Segundis, trying to think of all the ones I always say, D's Nuts. I say a D's Nuts joke, like my life depends on it.
It's foolproof.
That's always funny.
Hits with every audience.
It's like, it's something for everyone.
Right.
For something for everyone to enjoy.
Once
at the end
again,
of the
fun for the whole family.
Family friendly comedy.
Yes. I love it.
So speaking of comedy, like how did you get into comedy? Like what was your like goal? Have you always dreamt of being like, I know you were telling me earlier you did stand up for a while. So it's like, has that always been kind of your goal or just entertainment in general? Mm. I know you're a theater kid. Mm-hmm. Told me that too. I didn't just assume.
Yeah.
He told me that.
There was no assumptions, although it would be so safe. It would be such a safe
really,
assumption.
Really, really obvious.
I'm like, okay, right on set. Good question. I would say that I've been sort of entertaining my whole life in the way that I am the youngest child.
Oh,
gotta show up.
You gotta get attention.
Right, you gotta get attention, and you can't, you're never off, you know? Like, it's never, the work never stops.
The grind never stops.
No, I was like, I'm the youngest of three by kind of a lot, so everyone was like a lot older than me.
Really?
And I wasn't a mistake, is what my parents say. which is like, it's no worries if I was, mom.
By the way, it's okay.
My mom's somehow watching this live. I'm like, mom.
Please.
So I was the youngest of three. I wanted to break the tension wherever I could. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if that meant that I was sort of standing
doing
on the table, doing a little, you know, whatever was going to get people laughing kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then it's just too much encouragement, I think, at that point. They thought I was too,
you're
they
just
thought
chasing
I was,
the high.
Right. Like, I was like, what can we do?
You Let's felt keep that rush and you're like, I can never not feel that ever again.
Exactly. Exactly. So it was sort of chasing that forever. and then it just kind of stand up. I mean, I feel like we were kind of talking about this before. Stand up. I love it, and I love to do it, but also it is, like, one of the sickest ways that you can make people laugh and that it's just you on a stage with a microphone.
Yeah.
Like, that's so, like...
It's real circus, you know what I mean?
It's so upsetting.
It is. It's kind of like... And it's also, I feel like, the energy is so different because, especially if you go into, like, random comedy clubs, which is how everyone starts, like, they kind of just start trying to work their way into sets, and it's just a bunch of people just looking at you.
Right.
They're like, okay... Make me laugh.
Yeah, prove yourself.
Go ahead.
Right.
And especially if they're drinking.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. They either want to just be up there with you or they want you off the stage.
Do you ever get, like, unsolicited when you were doing stand-up a lot, too? Or do you get, like, you said earlier that, you know, sometimes there's just three men and they all want to give you jokes to put in your set.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has that happened to you?
You know, I think I've been lucky in that I haven't been faced with, like, that many brutal... Like, I've been so fortunate to come up in live comedy in a time where I think it's becoming...
It's a lot
less
different.
Male-dominated, less,
period.
Like, there's more queer people.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say the first, like, intro to stand-up comedy class I ever took, there it was me and my partner, and then the rest of the class was just, like, these, like, cis... I would say, like... yuppie millennial men, which we love. I love those people. But it was like, it was kind of like, even when they weren't on stage, they were just trying to get the joke in.
Yeah.
And on the first day, we were going around saying names.
Yeah.
And then, like, as we were going, the teacher sort of, like, clocked me and my partner and we're like, oh, and also say pronouns. And then
just so everyone, yeah, not pointed at anyone in particular, just
for no reason.
Yeah,
just randomly, what if we said our pronouns? And so, which to love. And then this guy was the first to go and he was like, hey, I don't remember his name, he's like, hey, I'm Adam, he, him, I, me. And it was like,
he's just saying pronouns. It's not like his pronouns.
No, it's just
they,
sort of
he, she.
Like, he's like, and we, and all of us,
and
together.
Us together. It turns into a speech.
Yeah,
what
everyone's
the
like,
fuck?
Wait a minute, Adam, you're so smart. So, you know, like moments like those, I was kind of like, this is actually, to me, that's beautiful.
Yeah. Progress, not overnight.
No.
Not overnight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Grateful for it. Love. I love an ally.
Right. The teacher's just like silent. She's like, okay, next. Like,
that's so funny. He's like, and pronouns too. For everyone, not yeah. just for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way he's just kind of like, yeah, so my name's fucking Adam.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're welcome, by the way.
I had this is like not, oh shit, sorry, this is not the same thing necessarily, but I do remember when I was in college, I was a journalism and communications major and I had to take a bunch of comm classes, and a lot of communications majors, I feel like they're like, oh, communications, because it's like easy, there's just like a million fucking classes you have to take in order to graduate with the degree, so mm-hmm. I had random classes with like random people, it wasn't always like the same core people. But I always had dudes that were like, they didn't know what the fuck they wanted to do. They just are a popular guy. And they were like, my fucking counselor said communications.
Yeah.
So I had lots of dudes like that in my classes. I remember there was this one guy who was like super popular on my campus. Like everybody loved that dude.
Amazing. He's and probably I was such like, a good person.
Yeah. So, so smart. So open. So empathetic. Yeah. And I will never forget this. But I remember we were in one of my intro classes, I think it was like my freshman year, and it was kind of a big class. There was probably like 40, 50 of us. Mm-hmm. And my teacher was like, yeah, you know, let's just go. We'll go through this syllabus really quick. And he was like asking random questions. He's like, okay, so what do you guys, why do you guys think certain industries are really popular in certain geographical areas? Because it was like communications, but specifically around media and how it communicates to culture and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he was like, for example, the video game industry is really, really huge in Asia. And he was saying, like, there's just a huge market there. Why do you guys think that is? Dude, no. I think it's important I mention this man that I'm about to talk about is white. Yeah. Obviously. So he raises his hand. No binder, by the way, no pencil, no backpack, no. He had one singular shaker cup.
Stop.
And that should have told me everything. I feel like it gave me enough information just off that alone. And then he had one of those like stringers that like the nipples are out, so it's like, what's the point of the shirt?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And so he's in class in this
mm-hmm.
way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so, and it's freezing in there, so
yeah.
Teats hard.
Absolutely.
Pointy. Yeah. And he's sitting there and he's like, yeah, okay, so fucking, I guess, like, he's literally talking like that. I would probably say, you know, probably because of games like Fruit Ninja, like, those are super popular over there, probably because, like, they have ninjas. And I'm dead serious. That's exactly what he said. That's a verbatim quote.
Oh, my God.
Mind you, my teacher is Asian.
Okay.
And my teacher's like, oh, God. Okay, so does anyone else have an answer? Oh. Like, he just, like, completely didn't acknowledge it, and he was like,
right. Yeah,
like laughing with his buddy, and I was like, oh, I fucking hate that guy.
Oh my God.
And he failed the class. I don't know if that's shocking to anyone.
Okay,
shocking to hear.
What,
those are my favorite kinds of guys to get in class.
No, it's like, thanks for that contribution.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And just kind of like, I mean, the thing is like, I was gonna say, I wonder what he's up to now, but it's like, he's probably super successful.
That's the worst part, isn't it?
It's like, he's probably somewhere, unfortunately, making so much money.
That's the worst fucking part, isn't it? Yeah. And you know what's funny is, you're probably right, because I know for a fact he came for money. And his,
I mean, you don't walk. Yeah. Of course he came from money.
Yeah, of course
he
did.
You don't walk into
of
a
course.
Classroom like that unless you come from money.
Yeah.
Unless you're like I'm here. He doesn't even know college costs money.
No, like, he doesn't. He's like, well, I just thought this is what everybody does. Yeah, they just like, kind of show up.
Just is this, where am I right now? Like,
have you ever, because this kind of alludes to our topic, but like, have you ever gotten like unsolicited advice when you were in comedy, theater, whatever it was, from men specifically? Where they're kind of like, you know what you got to do? And they just start, you're like, yeah. I didn't ask, but thank you.
It is kind of like one of those things that I do think I think it spills out of them. I think that they
they can't help it.
I think it's just the way that they think to relate to people. Well, and in the comedy space, it's always fascinating because it is so rare that I find men funny, just generally. Like, and I mean that like not even in a way where I'm like, I'm trying to be funny. Like,
you're right.
It is so rare. We're like, you know, and I mean, and obviously you explore this in your work, but it's like, it is often, well, because they have nothing to say or they're like grasping at things to say. But
or the shit they do say has been said thousands, if not millions of times. Right. So it's kind of like, okay.
And they're sort of like in their brain. And I genuinely think it's like, because of their ego.
Yeah.
Like they do believe that they are reinventing the wheel. Like they're saying it and they're like, I actually am the first person to say that. They believe it so
hard. Do you believe it?
They're like, wait, has nobody ever talked about like
why aren't more people talking about this?
Like, oh my God. He's like, what?
This joke writes itself.
This is so brilliant. Like, has anybody noticed that my girlfriend's kind of annoying?
She's kind of a fucking bitch.
Like, has anybody talked about this on stage before? I think I just cracked something. Like, so it's that element is always super fascinating.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think that, again, because I've been like lucky enough to be in this comedy spaces that I've been in, I haven't interfaced with it a ton, but I did thank God. And I'm so grateful, genuinely. Yeah. But I did, I've had like I did a show. I have like a longer show that I do sometimes. And I did a version of it in New York last year.
Okay.
And I did have this guy come up to me after my show, and he was being like, I really felt like he was speaking from the bottom of his heart. Like, and I was ready to hear him. It was also like so classic that it was like immediate, like the show had just closed. I'd done like a 3-show run. The show closes. I'm like trying to find my friends.
Yeah, you're like feeling good. You're like,
I'm like,
woo-hoo!
Oh my God, I'm like holding flowers. I'm like, oh, that was so fun. And I, then out of nowhere, of course, comes a man I've never met before in my entire life.
Has to.
And he's like, EJ, oh my God. And I'm like, hi, thinking like maybe I don't know him.
Yeah.
I think I don't know him.
Yeah.
And he kind of proceeds to he explains my show to me. Just in a quick, like in a really nice elevator pitch. He's kind of like, he's like,
gives you like a synopsis.
Yeah. He's like, okay. So your show was about like coming of age and gender, by the way. And I'm like, oh, thanks. Like I wrote it.
You're right. You're right. I'm well aware. But
I'm like, thank you. And then he just kind of explains to me that it's towing the line between many genres. Like he just like sort of starts lecturing me as though we're in a class discussing a different, like, and genuinely, like,
what was the goal? Like,
that was kind of my question at the end, because it was one of those moments where I sort of started to like lose myself in his eyes, and I was like, I was like, wait a minute,
you're like, you see yourself looking down at yourself, and you're like,
right,
what am I doing here?
Like, what would I think of these two people talking about this? Who are they?
I think your brain's going like,
yeah,
while he's talking, and you're like, damn, I missed the last 2 minutes of what he was saying.
I'm like, oh, what? I'm like so sweaty. I've just performed. I'm like, And basically, his point was that I should just think about that. That was kind of where he was like, and just you should know that. Which I
and then like, you're like, you know what? I am gonna think about it a lot because I have no idea.
Because I don't know what the fuck you were telling me. Like I found it so funny, and it's like grand scheme of things. Like sure, men have said like definitely like weirder and worse things to me, but it's also like. In that moment, it just felt so incredible that, like, he was making, like, people were waiting for him. You know, like, he was, like, holding up people.
Hold
like,
on, I have to tell
he's like,
this.
I have to tell. And it was just to explain my show to me. There wasn't really a compliment in there. Like, the point wasn't like, and you did it so well. It was just like, I figured it out, EJ, by the way.
I thought I couldn't figure it out, and I did.
And I did. And I was like, thank you so much for coming.
Real needle in the haystack, but I picked it up, all right?
I was like, wait a minute. I think you're a genius.
You figured it out?
You're so smart. Good job.
Great job. Thank you. I love it.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
We meet beautiful people.
Those are honestly my favorite. Ironically, it's like I enjoy it so much more when men like genuinely believe they're helping you. Yeah. I enjoy that. I'm like, when they talk to me and they're like, yeah, it's just like, here's the thing. And they start, and it's very condescending. And it's very, it's also so insulting to your intelligence because they're like, they're not going to get it. Have to break it down.
Yeah.
So they like, he's explaining your show to you. And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
And then he's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Anyway, you're welcome, dude.
Like, he tells you, and then you're like, thanks.
You know, it's always so fun to think about like what they wanted to happen.
Yeah, like what was the goal? Yeah. I'm so that's your that was kind of my question. Yeah, I think that's my favorite kind of like weird advice. Like they're like, here are my thoughts.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Person I just met. I would love to hear your thoughts on. I that's why I was curious if you had ever gotten like unsolicited advice because I feel like especially when you do any fashion of like entertainment when it comes to like either live performance, comedy, whatever it may be, there's always one that like when they watch you perform they want to tell you what they think you could do better.
Totally.
And they were sitting in the audience the entire time, like they're not on your team, they're not like a colleague, they're not a friend, they're not a mentor.
They bought just, a ticket.
They bought a ticket, they sat down and they watched, like that was it.
I think that I also get that version of it, which is like people, and it feels really well intentioned. And I do, you know, not to victim blame myself, but I do think that, like, people perceive me as very young a lot of time.
Which, and how old are you?
And I'm 12.
so not that young.
So, no. I mean, I'm 7th grade. Things are changing. No. Oh, God. I'm 26.
Okay.
I'm turning 27 next month.
Period.
But I, you know, a lot of people who have never seen like a trans person in their life are sort of like, what's going on? Fair, maybe.
Okay.
But
sure.
Sure. And we love that.
yeah. I'm like, nothing, trans people love nothing more than you paying way too close attention to them.
Yeah.
They love that.
I know. And I think we should all kind of more, we should take out our microscopes and just kind of ask the hard questions. But but yeah, when people have never sort of seen anyone like me, you know, they think that genuinely, like, it happens in a lot of versions.
Yeah.
I was on a plane recently and I was sitting in the exit row and the flight attendant came and was doing the spiel of, you know, are you willing and able to help or whatever. And then she sort of looked at everyone in the row and then stopped at me and goes, and are you older than 15? and I always include this detail because it feels so critical. I was wearing a leather trench coat. Like, I feel like, I'm like, what?
They're like, Inspector Gadget, are you 18 or older?
They're like, and what's under the coat? I'm like, ah! like,
then what? You flash them. Yeah. You're all, does this look 15?
Yeah, they're like, oh,
didn't think so.
Right. No, exactly. Like, I was like, what? I don't know. I mean, I was flying out of New York. I feel like 14-year-olds in New York are wearing really cool clothes, like,
probably,
you know, to sort of props to myself. But anyway, so just like moments like that where I'm like, okay, so the world is viewing me in a lot of really interesting ways.
Yeah. Not in any of, and I wouldn't say any of them are accurate, but they are very different.
Really interesting to kind of take stock of. But and I'm like, what were we talking about? My trench coat? No. Okay. So I think that people give me advice in a way where
they think you're even, like, young.
Yeah, even if they're literally at a stand-up show that I'm doing in a 21 plus venue. They're like, there's a kid on stage who needs my help. And
he needed my help.
He needs my help, and I think I have something. I think I can help. Like, I think I have things to tell him that might be useful. And so
that's,
I think,
insane.
The tone is kind of sometimes that, where it's
very,
like,
condescending.
Hey, kiddo, come on over here.
Hey, sport. Come on down here.
Hey, sweetie pie. Come here. They tussle my hair. They're like, you did so many things up there.
Yeah, they're like, you were so good. I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, I'm like, well, thanks.
This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan Sliced. In fruit and life, there's no juice without the slice. It's what freed the pineapple from the rind and turned your old jeans into cute jorts. Introducing Captain Morgan Sliced, four cocktail-inspired, ready-to-drink flavors. Pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus only. This episode is brought to you by eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Whether it's a handbag, watch, sneakers, streetwear, or jewelry, eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love, and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit eBay.com for terms.
That's so annoying. So, I don't know how you do that. That is so annoying.
It is. It's
damn.
Yeah.
That's like I feel like it's similar but not, like, for me, the very few times I am in settings where there's like, it's like my family and then like a bunch of random people I don't know.
Sure.
I never really do stuff like that anymore, and because I do this for a living now, it's just I've learned the hard way. It's exhausting sometimes. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when I go, like, no one really says anything to me, which I appreciate if it's just like a family party or something like that. But sometimes I'll go and there will be random men there whose wives or girlfriends are like really big fans of mine and they know me.
Totally.
And then they'll tell them to come talk to me. And then when men that come and so talk to me, which is so strange because I'm like, I would rather you come up to me than send your man who doesn't give a fuck about me. But more specifically, a man who I know and can tell does not like me. Like, I just know they don't fuck with the content, really.
That's actually, like, violent to send in your direction.
Like, that's a threat.
That's actually insane.
But sometimes they'll come up to me and they'll be like, hey, like, my girlfriend's, like, really big fan. And I'm like, oh, cool. And it's awkward. Like, we're just looking at each other.
Nothing to say to each other.
No, yet. It's like those videos of dogs when they, like, you're videoing them and then they're like, that's literally how I feel when they come up to me.
He's like standing over, you're like eating your dinner. You're like, hi.
Yeah.
Oh, you're tall.
Yeah, I was like, hi. And I'm like, okay, cool. Is she here? Because, like, why are you talking to me?
Oh my God, that's so weird to do.
Yeah, and if it's a personal setting, like a setting where we're like both at a party or something. Sometimes they'll literally sit with me and they'll be like, yeah, you know, like, so I'm familiar, like, with what you do. And that always feels like a threat. Mm, if it's 100%. A man and they say it in that tone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? And then Beautiful. They're like, oh, you know, I don't really watch social media like that. Like, it immediately shifts.
It begins.
So I'm like, that's fine. If you don't want to tell me to my face, that's cool.
Right.
What are we doing? Why are you talking to me?
Right. And why don't you try acting like a person?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Or don't talk to me at all.
Right.
You don't have to approach anybody.
And that's what people don't understand.
Yeah. You don't have to do that.
You don't have to.
Ever.
You can actually just keep doing your thing.
I do. And I'll do my thing and we'll ignore each other.
Amazing.
That's what I was like. Most marginalized people would prefer that you just ignore them.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. They're just like, just leave me alone. I'm going to leave you alone.
Right.
You leave me alone. Let's just do it together.
Right. I'm just at the grocery store. You know, like, I'm just doing my thing.
Yeah.
Really.
It's like, I've joked about this with my mom too, but I'm like, sometimes men will come up to me and I could tell, like you said, there are good intentions there, but there's also a very clear ignorance that I can see too, to which I'm like, I'm not going to get mad at you, but also I don't want to waste time talking to you if it's like
totally.
You just doing, like, giving me unsolicited advice or like, talking about shit like that I don't agree with, and I don't want to have to disagree with you here.
Oh,
you know what I'm
like
saying?
Trying to like start sort of an intellectual debate. With
yeah,
you,
they're so like, well, I mean, let's have a discussion about it. I don't want to.
No.
No, thanks.
That's not your job.
I was like, oh, no. No, thank you.
Amazing.
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
No.
Not for me.
I tell people that too when they're like, oh, why don't you debate people? Because I don't want to.
That's not fun. You know,
nothing about that is fun.
I say this with all the love in my heart, but like, my partner was a nationally ranking debate champion.
Period.
In high school, which we love.
Period.
It's amazing. But like, there's something so crazy about that to me that people like to debate. Someone tries to debate me, my body's like firing off signals that I don't even, you know, I'm like sweat
like
dripping down my back. Like, I'm like crying a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's a really intense moment to be in.
Yeah, my sister, she makes the funniest like quips about anyone trying to debate her about literally anything. Like, if she says something and someone's like, no, I think it's this. And she goes, I don't think so. And then they're like, no, it is. Like, if they get intense like that, she goes, oh, I don't care. Like, she says that every, that's not a joke. She says it every time. It doesn't matter
so
who it is.
So genius.
Yeah, and like, she's like, oh, well, I don't care. So.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah. No, no worries. Shit. Yeah.
Nothing is ever that serious.
It's not.
Nothing is ever that serious.
Oh, my God.
I promise it's not. That's why, that's how I feel about, like, the debate shit. I'm like, why the fuck would it, there is nothing fun about that.
No.
No. I'm here to tell jokes.
What? I'm here to laugh.
I'm here to have a silly, goofy time, and that's it.
Oh my God.
I have nothing else on the agenda but that.
The debate thing is so hard. Because a lot of people are really, really good at talking.
They're so good at talking, I just don't care.
And they're quick, and they've got the facts, and it's really, really hard.
Well, and I'm a Virgo. Are you a Pisces or Aquarius?
I'm a Pisces.
Period. Yeah. I know Pisces men get a bad rap, but my dad's a Pisces.
Okay.
He's great.
I like
Pisces men.
I will say, like, since honestly transitioning is the first that I've heard about Pisces men getting a bad rap, which is sort of understandable as that now I am one. and
that's what I'm saying. I don't agree with that stereotype.
Which I really appreciate. Because, I mean, first of all, Pisces, you know, we're just feeling a lot of things all the time.
Period.
Yeah.
I think that's why, from my understanding of it, is like Pisces men are almost too emotionally in tune.
Oh,
so to a point where they can be manipulative.
I see.
Because they're too aware. Like, they have too much information about emotions and how they work with women, especially.
I could see that.
I think
backfiring.
That's why.
I could totally see that. And I want to retract what I said earlier about in defense
if that's
of
okay.
Pisces men, I see how they could be totally problematic, and I agree.
Like to change my statement.
Just covering all the bases.
I was going to say, as a Virgo, because I'm a Virgo, I'm a huge know-it-all. Like, that's part of me being a Virgo, but also just like me as a person, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So when I was a kid, I used to like get really upset about like being wrong. Mm. As I got older, I was kind of like, hey, who gives a fuck?
Right.
Like, I have way too many things going on up here to
You're busy.
Care that much about that.
Yeah.
Like, about things that don't matter, like debating about things that don't matter, or debating people who are committed to misunderstanding you and trying to change their mind. Like, I'm not going to do that shit.
No, because it's not going to happen.
And it's never going to work. Not.
What's there's a saying, you mobilize comrades and you forget about the other people or something like that.
I bet that's exactly what it is.
And everybody else is like doing other stuff.
And that's so real.
Yeah.
That's such a great quote.
I hold on to that. Yeah.
I live by that.
Because you're going to know if someone, if you're going to have a productive conversation with someone. Like, I mean, for me personally, and maybe this is related to me being a Pisces, like, I feel like if I'm going to have a productive conversation with someone about something important, it's going to have to be like the tenderest environment in the world. I need them to be
gentle.
Like, maybe we're holding hands. You know? They're complimenting me every other sentence.
Yeah, it's like a safe environment.
It's crazy. I'm like, oh, you know, there's a loud noise, you know, but that kind of thing. It's very, so that's basically, I think, my stance on like politics and in debate and that
maybe
way.
There should be more hand holding. Maybe we'd all get along.
Honestly, maybe there should be a little bit more physical touch in a nice, calm,
nice,
way,
consensual
in
way.
A normal.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think it's like I've actually seen that before with like relationship like therapists. They've talked about how when you're arguing, if you both sit down or hold hands, it immediately de-escalates.
It's really interesting. I mean, 100%. That's
so
like
you're right.
My bread and butter. Yeah.
Holding hands.
I'm like, hold my
sitting
hand, please. Please hold me. No, that's critical. That's critical.
I feel like you said, it's like the safe environment thing is very true, especially if you want to have an actual honest conversation.
Yeah.
But when you're talking to someone who just wants to wait till you're done talking so they could start yelling, no thanks.
No.
That's why my sister's attitude of like, oh, I don't care.
Powerful.
It's so powerful. Like, you say that to any man, like, I don't give a fuck.
It completely destabilizes them.
Yeah, they're like, well, you're supposed to give a fuck because then I have to give a fuck. Like, that's the natural turn of events.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And that's why sometimes when I say that, they'll say things like, oh, it's because you're afraid. Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever makes you feel better.
Right.
That you need that. I don't.
Right. It's like, you said it. Yeah. You're kind of scared.
I was like, you do scare me in other ways. Yeah. But like, I'm just like, I don't give a shit because that does nothing for me. Like, it's almost like peer pressure. I know peer pressure is a thing. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But I...
Now I'll debate you on that.
Yeah. I know peer pressure is a thing that happens. I don't succumb to peer pressure literally ever because no one's ever going to tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. So if someone's like, oh, it's because you're a chicken, I'm always like, no, I'm really not going to do it.
Right.
Nothing's going to make me not do it more than that.
Yeah.
Like trying to goad. I don't fall for shit like that.
From a negative place. Like
so negative.
I don't know why I'm like having this. I'm very earthy.
It's true. It's true. I'm like, no, but you're so right though. It's just like nothing about that moves me.
No, it's not. I want to be inspired.
Yeah. It doesn't move me. I'm just kind of, you're very like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. A little weird.
Yeah, and I'm like, shut up. Right. I'm very like, I'm really not doing it.
Right.
That just doesn't move me. Like people trying to like, I don't know, like strong arm you or bully you and stuff.
Yeah.
You're just kinda like, okay, well.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Yeah. I'm not taking anything from this conversation, but love you so much though.
Yeah, but I love you and I believe in you.
Okay, so it's actually a good transition into our topic today because we're going to be talking about why do horrible men online think they can give unsolicited relationship advice. And EJ has a video where he's like, the prompt is your friend who's never once been rejected giving flirting advice. I do remember that video. Like, just look at them. And you got to look at them first. And then that's it.
No, fall right into your lap. Like, what are you talking about?
You're like, okay, well, that works for you.
Right.
I'm so glad to. I know our we talked about Brett Newstrom was on the show, and he posted a video recently where he was talking about how like people are always like, oh, you can't be with anyone until you love yourself. And he's like, I'd like to try. I'd like to try. You know what would fix all my problems? Having someone sleeping in my bed every night. That would fix my problems. So let's try it. Let's do it first. Let's give it a shot.
Right.
Let's try.
Let's see.
Let's see how that works. I honestly, how long have you been with your partner?
Like 3 years.
Okay. I've been with mine going on 7. Mm-hmm. So like.
Wow. Congrats. That's amazing.
Thank you. Yeah. A million and 1 years.
Right.
Thousands of fights. Oh man.
Oh my God.
I joke about like at the start of COVID, my boyfriend and I both got COVID, even though we were being super, super careful. I never fucking left my house and we still got it. And then we had to isolate. And that was when isolation was like fucking 19, 20 days.
Yeah.
And we isolated like that in a room like that's like a 4x6. Girl, you want to test the strength of your relationship? Do that.
That's
isolate. I was like, we broke up twice in there.
Yeah.
And I was like, sometimes I was like, I need to go somewhere. And I would go in the bathroom, just sit in the tub, fully clothed, just sitting there, just to be alone.
Just to get, I mean, just physically, like, get out of my face.
Yeah,
like,
just get out of my fucking like, face. Get out of my face. I was like, it's because we're living in a shoebox, just the two of us. Like, we were, like, easily going to kill each other at some point or another.
It's so amazing the boundaries that kind of break down in moments like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like, why does anyone like me and why does anyone like you?
Right.
You're spending too much time together.
Be like, your vibe is annoying me
right now. Yeah, they're not even saying anything.
Like, that's kind of hurtful. You're like, what am I supposed to do?
Look at you.
Right.
What am I supposed to do? It's so bad. But even like, you know, we've been in relationships for a while now. Like, I don't ever give advice about that unless someone asks me. And even then, I'm always like, it's very specific to the person. Like, it depends on you. Like,
I give such bad dating advice. It's crazy. And I always feel like such an idiot. I can feel myself losing, like, the thread of what I was about to say while I'm saying it. Like, I'm like, oh, that's so fun because that means that he thought about you enough to pick the restaurant, right? You know, and I'm like, what am I saying? Like, I know nothing.
Yeah, my mind's like very, like, especially if there's someone who dates men, I'm always like, I mean, break up with them.
Right.
Well, I would break up with them. That's what I would do.
First mistake, kind of right out the bat.
Yeah. Well, first off, I would break up with them. That would be my first point of action. But if you're not willing to do that, maybe we can try something else.
I always find myself like, when my friend's like dating a new guy, I'm like, I have to resist actively being like, and what about him is hot to you?
And what exactly?
And just lay it out for me.
Yeah, just
so I can understand. Can I be in your shoes?
Yeah, you're all, some people are physical and some people are more of a mental.
Right, do you close your eyes?
Yeah, yeah. Do you close your eyes and just think really hard? Or
yeah.
Well, because I feel like most people who date men Especially if you're cisgendered and heterosexual.
Yeah.
If you're a woman who's like dating men who are cis and het, a lot of times you're better than them. Like 99% of the time you could do better.
Most of the time, for sure.
Yeah, easily. 99% of the time you could do better. Mm-hmm. So that's just where my fallback is always like, well, break up with them.
Right. I'm like, it sounds like he is boring and not as fun as you. Is that crazy to say? Sounds like you're a lot funnier.
That's a huge thing for me too, is being funny.
Yeah.
Isn't that? Like, I'm always like, I can't carry this load for the two of us.
Oh my God.
Oh girl, I'm exhausted.
Impossible. I go to bed, I'm sore from carrying you. I can't do this by myself.
Yeah, I'm exhausted from making people crack up all day.
It's hot. I'm losing my voice. Yeah. I can't do it.
So we're going to watch some TikToks that are having to do with men who are giving horrible dating advice, and they are unqualified. Okay, in this video, a man's wearing a white t-shirt, a suit jacket, and he's sitting in a chair. With blackout curtains behind him.
Okay, already terrifying.
You being actively afraid. And he's talking to the camera, and he says, the number one flirty thing you can say to a girl is two words. And he teaches this to men in his coaching program.
Oh my God.
When you start flirting with a woman, look her in the eyes and say... This is like reading it. It makes me want to die. It says, you know what? You're trouble. Oh, God.
You're trouble.
A man says that to me in real life. This is my genuine reaction. A man says that to me in real life. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
What does that mean? What are you talking about?
What? What kind of trouble?
What does that mean? I don't understand. Like, the way they'll be,
like, blech.
Does the coaching program have follow-ups after? Like, maybe if she gets mad, this is what you do.
Yeah.
If she gets mad, she's probably a bitch, so fuck her. Right. And then tell her she's fat and leave.
Yeah.
That's
boom. Done. Okay. Win-win. Next freaking lesson.
You need more after that?
Oh, my God.
Thoughts on that? On saying your trouble?
Your trouble?
You should try it on your partner.
Oh, my God. Scary.
You know what? You're trouble.
You're trouble.
You say it like that, but like in a way that's like, you're trouble.
Yeah, I know. I see. I can't say it and not be gay. Like, I'm like, oh, you're trouble. It's not going to happen for me. You have to have a deep darkness in your soul to like say that in the way that he's
any other way, it's ominous.
It's trouble.
You're trouble. I can't even say it. Like, I have to say it like, you're trouble.
Well, because I know that what he's talking about is this sort of, you know, man who's got like he thinks he is so sexy. Like, he actually, he thinks about himself very sexually. Like, he's like, oh God, this is so sexy of me to say.
God, sorry. I'm like,
I'm like flustered by myself and my body. You're trouble. And it's like, ah!
And then he's the only one reacting.
Yeah, everyone else is like, he's like stay away from me.
That was crazy that I said that.
He's like, oh my God, you're so hot.
you killed
me. You are so cool.
I was just talking about this the other day, about the sexy part. Men who are like, look at me being sexy. There is nothing that makes my butthole go further into my body.
100%.
Like, sucked in there like boba through a straw, bitch. Right up there. It makes me almost physically upset. And I don't mean, before everyone gets like, and why aren't men allowed to feel? That's not what I'm talking about. Yeah. I'm talking about men who are like, I look so good right now. Yeah. And they like need to show other people. And they need to be acknowledged about how sexy they are.
Yes. They're demanding feedback.
Yeah.
It's very different. Yeah.
It's like gun to my fucking head. Yeah. Tell me how sexy I am right now.
Say, notice me. Notice me.
Yeah. It's the same thing about male strip clubs. Because like, I've only ever been to one once. That was more than enough for me. I will never go back to another one ever again. Yeah. Female strip clubs, I think, are fun.
Yeah.
Male strip clubs, haunted house, girl. Every corner I turn, oh! You know what I mean? Like, it's a jump scare. Everywhere, every corner I turn, it's like horrifying.
I actually have never imagined.
And men actively like grinding and feeling sexy and then like trying to talk to you at the same time.
Yeah.
I'd rather be waterboarded.
Yeah.
Personally.
That's really, really scary. Because it's a lot of energy happening. And so they're very activated.
It's like too much is going on.
Yeah.
I've never been more overstimulated and upset in my life.
Right.
Than when I had that experience.
Yeah. That's horrible. A one-way track to irritability.
Feeling, and now I'm the bad guy.
I'm feeling angry. I'm sorry.
Yeah. My bad. You pissed me off. Yeah. It's just like, it's that like, it's just, yeah. Nothing makes me sick.
Because it's a very different, like, to when a man is demanding kind of a response about his, you know, he's feeling himself, sure.
Cool.
But when he's kind of making it everybody else's problem, it's so different.
Exactly.
And jarring, like, exactly. Compared to, like, when a woman is, like, feeling good and comfortable in her skin. Like, I'm like,
yeah.
I can't even actually think of an example of that happening.
And like, or making it everyone else's
problem.
And,
like, it's, like, not notable because it's, like, oh, right, because she's minding her business. She's feeling good. She's having a great day.
Well, and a perfect example of that too is like when women are feeling themselves, like they just feel good and you're like, you look so cute today or something. They're like, oh my God, thanks. Like they're like shocked to hear it. When men are doing that and like you said, making it everyone's problem, they're like, hello? Yeah. Like, hello?
Yeah.
It's almost like someone who tells a joke and then looks around and waits.
Oh God.
Like that.
And they repeat it.
Yeah. Did you guys hear what I said?
Did you guys hear that? That was fun. Wait, okay, I'll say it again. Sure.
Someone set me up. Set me up again so I can say it again.
That's literally what
different. That's a very different.
Different journey to walk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, it sends shivers on my spine.
You're trouble.
You're trouble. That's what you said. I can't say it and not be gay. Otherwise, it makes me sick.
It's quite, yeah.
This one says, I've used, oh my God, this comment. Okay. It says, I've used, you seem like a good girl. You better walk away. I'm trouble. It worked several times. One like. doubt it.
It worked several times. What does work mean? First of all, like when it's working, what is happening?
Like they didn't call the cops on you and that's a win? That's a dope.
You're still
right
free
there.
To walk the streets? Yeah.
Dude, I joked about this on my podcast with my sister. But we talked about how, like, I'll tell the story here because I haven't told it here. But one of my friends told me she went and saw that movie, Anyone But You, whatever the fuck, the Sydney Sweeney movie.
I haven't yet. It hasn't graced my presence yet.
And it will never grace mine personally, but it's okay. All peace and love. But she told me she was watching the movie and she said there was a couple behind her and they were watching it too. Mm. And then she said that when they have like that first scene where they're like about to have sex, right? The guy behind her goes, oh, we're gonna see some tits. Out loud, like to his date. To which I have so many questions already. I have so many questions already. And then she said,
oh my God.
She said she couldn't pay attention to the movie because she was only listening to that guy after that. Obviously. And then she said, past that, like you did in fact see her tits. He was right. They eventually came out. And when they were revealed, right, like he was like, score.
No.
So I'm like, in the show with my sister, yeah, you're like, right.
So scared.
So horrifying. And in the episode with my sister, we were laughing about it because I was telling her, like, if you get like audibly excited at the thought of seeing titties, right. Maybe you shouldn't be in public. Like, maybe you shouldn't be around other people. Right. Like, I feel like you're terrorizing the community.
You need to work through stuff in private.
In private.
Sure.
In a padded cell, probably. Right. And so I was like, you need to be locked away somewhere far from the rest of us. Wherever the fuck they put Black Adam, I don't know if anybody saw that movie, but there's a part where, like, they lock him up in this underwater prison, and they literally submerge him in water, and they put a little thing on him so he can still breathe and stay alive, but he is literally, like, in a catatonic state, and he's 1,000 leagues under the sea.
Sure.
That's where all of those men should be.
It's time to think.
And that includes men who say, you seem like a good girl. You better walk away. I'm trouble.
Right. Right, because that one, it's sort of the first one where you're like, that's a little threatening, but it's like, this one is literally, that's a threat. He's like, get out of my sight or bad stuff is going to happen.
Yes. I'm going to do something awful to you if you don't get out of my
face. He's like, I'm actually telling you now, run.
I'll give you a head start. Yeah. Start right now.
He's like, works for me. It's like, what?
And I didn't get the cops called on me that time, so.
And I'm typing this in a dark room, yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place we're always daydreaming about. Whether it's the snow-capped mountains, white sand beaches, a best friend's wedding, or even a hometown visit, we all have one. My happy place, personally, is my second home, which is in Hawaii. And everybody knows, because that's where I've been living, and I live there and in California, and I love Hawaii, and I love traveling there. So wherever your happy place is, Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price, so you never have to miss a trip. And did you know that when you bundle and save with Priceline, you can save up to $625 when you book your flights and hotels together? We all know the feeling. 100 open tabs across 50 different sites trying to find the best deal. Just use Priceline and simply book your entire trip in one place. They truly have deals you cannot find anywhere else. And everybody loves a good deal, girl. So make sure you get that value off of Priceline. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline. This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. We're all guilty of spacing out from time to time, and Rockstar totally gets that, which is why they've released the all-new Rockstar Focus, made with lion's mane and 200 milligrams of caffeine for an energy and mental boost. Plus, it's available in three delicious zero-sugar flavors, my favorite being the white peach, babe. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
This next one says, that was my go-to like 10 years ago, LOL. Worked about 80%. You just better have something good to say when you do get their attention. Huh?
So interesting.
This man's bald, so okay. I feel like that should be said.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One time it's coincidence, two times it's a pattern.
Right.
This next comment is so funny. It says, how do I follow up on that if she asks, what do I mean?
Okay.
Did I not say that?
A productive question. Yeah. Thank you.
He's like, okay, what are next steps? Because every time I say that, they're confused.
Yeah. He's like, so are there any tips for just like talking as though she's also a person? Is that where the class ends?
Is that on the roster? Like, I'm going to learn that next? Yeah. Or, like, yeah. How many
I'm
lessons?
I'm looking at the syllabus and I'm just not.
I'm just trying to map. I'm trying to game it out privately. I'm like, okay, well, clearly this is introductory steps.
I bought all the books you told me to buy and there's nothing about her. Just so us having an organic conversation. I feel like it has to be here somewhere.
I bought the deals. Just give me the information. It's a dating coach website. I just figured maybe it would get me dates, but
no worries.
Have yet to see any results, yeah. But
wait, patiently waiting.
Yeah, they should have like reviews like they do on Amazon or something. Mm. They're like, or like on Yelp. My favorite kind of Yelp reviews are when they're like, I would give this 0 stars if that was an option. Yes. Those are my favorite kinds.
Oh my God, because whatever's coming next is going to be amazing. Yeah.
They should have that for like specifically, almost like Rate My Professor.
Yeah.
But specifically for like men who give dating advice, like dating coaches.
Yeah.
They're like, this worked for me because, but most times it'll be like, I don't know, I spent thousands of dollars and now I'm in prison.
Yeah. Weirdly, I'm still miserable, which is fine.
Which, like, I guess back to square one, right. But I'm just, like, a little confused.
No harm, no foul, but I am sad.
This did not help me.
Yeah.
As much as I thought it was going to. I've actually met one dude in my entire life that actively bought, like, dating coach books.
Yeah.
And it was like how to get women, and I was like, well,
"Was he okay?"
This was my very first interaction with him, like one on one, and it was a man that like I met through my boyfriend. It's not my boyfriend's friend. It was like
totally. So we're not kind endorsing of, the behavior.
No, again. He was like a tag along. Like they worked in this similar environment, and he just happened to be at something we went to. Anyways, he talked to me and he said, I don't think we've ever met before, have we? Which, yes, we have. We've met at least 5 times up until that point.
Why
so
do people do that?
I was like, I don't know why you're negging me as if I'm not in a relationship. Like, this shit doesn't work on me, bitch.
Right.
So, like, it wouldn't work on me if I was single. And honestly, it would only work on me if I had no eyes.
Yeah.
But that's besides the point. And my ears were ripped off my head. That's the only way it would work, probably.
Noted.
But, yeah. But I said, yeah, we have. We've met several times. And he was like, oh, okay, well, I forget your name, whatever the fuck. I'm like, okay, well, my name's Drew.
Right.
And he was like, oh, Drew, like, that's like a boy's name.
What the heck?
And I was like, well, clearly it's not. Clearly it's not. Names are just names, by the way.
Yeah.
And
some are for boys.
Yeah.
I happen to know that.
I'm like, you got me.
Yeah, there. You're like, actually, wait, fuck. I don't have anything else
you're
to say.
You're so right. You're so right. Do you want to go on a date?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. And he's like, oh, like Drew, I forget. He men always do this shit to me where like when I tell them my name, they try to think of the first Drew that they know. It's almost always Drew Carey. I don't know why that's the guy, but like,
wait, so genius. Oh my God. That
not
is such
Drew
a
Barrymore,
fun...
but like Drew Carey. They're like, oh, like Drew Carey. And then sometimes that's... sometimes if they're like a man's man, I'll be like, oh yeah, like Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. Like I'll say like that. And then I said that to that guy and this is an exact reenactment. He goes, okay. Oh. Okay, all right, yeah, no, like, okay, oh, you're different. What?
He completely glitched.
You're different.
Whoa.
He starts breathing really yeah. hard.
He's like, I actually, it's so hard.
The ick that coursed through my body. Yeah. When I was watching him have that episode after right. I said that.
There's, what are you supposed to do?
I was like, do you need me to be here while you do this?
Right. Now I'm involved, yeah.
Do you mind if I turn my back while you do this? Do you want some privacy yeah. while I go
through this? Well, this surges through you, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, you're different over and over again. I was like, ugh, and then as soon as I left that interaction, I was like, I don't ever want to hang out with that guy ever again. Yeah. That's cool with you. Yeah. It's my boyfriend. He's like, I don't even like that guy.
He's like, that's my best friend.
Yeah. Like, please, he's my friend.
Come on.
That's that Jersey Shore audio. Guys, he's my friend. He's my friend. Please.
Please.
Well, I mean, any thoughts on... on your trouble. Do you have any oh here, how do I follow up on that if she asks what do I mean?
How do I follow up? I mean, it's sort of like I guess if I was giving advice to someone in this situation, mm-hmm. yeah, I would say I would let that question sort of linger, and I would sit with myself and really ask myself, what do I mean? And
great advice, honestly.
I would just like genuinely like,
I think
like,
most men should do that, honestly.
I think try listening. what you know, yeah. But that kind of thing. And if you do mean something sort of flirtatious or sexual, I would just sort of ask, like, why do you feel into, why do you it's, I'm sorry, I'm trying to be gentle with them, right? Because if they've made it this far into this podcast, you know, they might really be looking for something. Yeah. They're really trying to
help.
They're
trying. They're desperate.
Right. So it's just kind of, yeah, I would like sit with it. I would like let it kind of like wash over you and awaken whatever it awakens inside you.
Yeah. I would, this is what I would do. She goes, what? Which is so funny because that's exactly what I said. I'd be like, what?
Yeah.
What is that supposed to mean? If someone like me says something like that, then I would say, I said, what's your name? I would just, I'd redirect.
Pivot
immediately.
Yeah.
They didn't hear me. I asked, what's your name?
Yeah.
Oh, my name is, there you go.
Yeah, and there you go. And you're off to an amazing start.
There you go. I was like, so it's genius. It, even like when Caleb was on the show, he was like, you really just need to like get a hobby or like an interest, like take an interest and like listen, and you will drown in posts, I promise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like most women just want to be heard. Yeah. So like, and listened to.
Yeah.
And cared for. So I'm sure if you're just like,
if you're just present in the conversation.
Yeah. If you just ask normal bitch questions, like I promise it will probably go somewhere. Like,
right.
To some extent anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's more so.
It's really about your heart. Cause I'm like, yeah. In my mind, I'm like, okay, like genuinely, like sometimes I think if you're like actually feeling socially awkward mm-hmm. in a situation, I think like sometimes it can be helpful to like have like, oh, like what's something cool that you learned recently?
Yeah.
But this is a dangerous piece of advice to give to men because yeah. that can quickly turn into sort of like lecturing and being weird about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But like if you do have like a heart that is good and you offer like, oh, you know, I love birds. There's a lot of really interesting facts about birds. Like if you have like a fact like that where you're like, I learned this, I saw a cardinal the other day. Did you know? You know, and then that actually, like if you're doing that with the purest of intentions.
Yeah.
it could lead somewhere. You know, literally, you might seem a little weird, but that, like, you have something to say besides
it's better
like
than creepy and awful,
right? Like, besides like forcing it on her to be like, I made a weird comment to you. Respond.
Like balls in your court,
right?
So
like,
you go ahead and take the reins from there, babe.
But this is also an example of like sort of circling back. You know, I do give like horrifying dating advice because I'm so rusty. So I'm sure that like
no, but you're not wrong in the sense of like if what you said earlier, which is like if you talk to them like they're a normal human being,
right?
9 times out of 10, it's gonna work out.
Yeah, like if you just find that in your soul, kind of.
And even if it doesn't, most women will be polite to you regardless.
Sure.
Like they'll be nice, they'll have the conversation, even if they aren't like attracted to you or don't want to date you or pursue it further, what the fuck ever. You could be the weirdest bitch in the world,
right?
And if you strike up a conversation with a girl, she's gonna find it endearing if you're not awful.
Yeah,
she'll be like, he's so sweet, he came up to me, started talking to me about fucking birds or some shit, and he was so sweet, he was just so nervous. That's how they're gonna like piece it out.
Yes.
They're not gonna be like, what a freak. And if they are, then that's not the person for you.
Yeah.
But if they're just like, oh, he was so sweet, like he seemed nervous and he was talking to me about birds. And then like, and then I start talking to him and we exchange phone numbers. You see how easy that is? I've said so many times, I'm like, straight men like that, like they are so like, well, first of all, entitled to women, obviously, but they also like overcomplicate shit.
Yeah.
It's like you make it so much more complicated than it actually is.
Yeah.
If you just talk to her like a normal person and get a favorite song or band, like I promise.
Right.
It'll work out probably.
Yeah. Just have a fulfilling life of your own. That someone would maybe be compelled to join in on.
Yeah.
Because that's also key, is like you have to bring something to the table, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And I also feel like, but it's also hard because then, you know, if we're sort of toying with the idea of entitlement, like if you can't expect that every woman is gonna even have like any a semblance of wanting to be with you romantically or sexually, which is a hard first step, because then it just like then you have to want to make friends.
Yeah.
Which I also think a lot of men are like not really interested in doing.
Yeah, like I've talked about that before, where I'm like, some men are like, women are just so high maintenance these days and blah blah blah, and it's like the high maintenance part is like just like don't be mean to me.
Yeah.
And I was like, the reason why that's like such an impossible idea to conceive for them is literally because they would have to like be nice to women.
Yeah.
And that's just like too big of an ask. Like, it's like I want to be able to like just like tell you like Neanderthal type shit, like you, me, cave.
Yeah.
Like they want to be able to do that shit, and that's just like not how it works anymore.
No,
hasn't for a while. So
right.
They're like, what do you fucking mean I have to ask her about what she likes?
Yeah,
what are you talking about?
Yeah,
no, it's... I'm gonna go with your trouble.
You're trouble.
Oh, thank God, there's only one step. I just have to say she's trouble, and then
right.
Then I just metaphorically get to take her back to my cave, and then that is my woman now.
That's mine. And also, she's annoying me.
You're like, has anyone ever thought about the fact that my girlfriend's annoying?
And that's, it sort of comes, it's a beautiful for, and then they get on stage, they've got a microphone, let them speak.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. They need more
yes.
representation.
Yeah.
We need more of them on yeah. the stage.
Yes, we do.
Just to wrap things up. So we talked about all kinds of shit. Mostly comedy.
Look,
as experts, as self-proclaimed
experts. You wanted it, you asked for it. Yeah, we're gonna talk about it.
But you've dabbled in all, I feel like, a lot of different forms of comedy, like whether it's writing, stand-up, theater. So like, for I know your journey's kind of like still being written, like you said.
Thank you.
You're still trying to figure it out, but you've developed a platform because people find you so fucking funny. So what would you say is like a really great piece of advice you want to give people who are pursuing maybe different avenues of entertainment, whether it's like writing, stand-up, acting?
That's
especially if they're in LA and like pursuing it actively.
You know, I really feel like, because honestly, and you know, maybe this is annoying to say, but for me the social media thing did kind of feel like it happened on accident. I feel like someone gave me a phone on accident, and I, you know, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's the funniest thing about having these like sort of platforms suddenly is you're like, oh, who let me do this?
<You're> like, <uh-oh. laughs>
and I don't know what I'm doing. But I feel like but I think that the reason why that didn't like fizzle out or whatever is I think that like if you can find something that feels generative to you, like, on your own. Yeah. Like, I have always been obsessed with people. Like, yeah. I have always loved, like, you know, sitting in, like, a public park or, like, a coffee shop or something and, like, listening to two people having a conversation.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, my God, like, she works at a museum and she does not like her new coworker. Like, I'm like, you know, like, I'm like, it's people just talking about their lives in a such a normal way. And I'm like, that's literally genius. I'm like writing it down. I'm like, that's so funny.
Yeah.
And like,
you're very observant, which is why you're a good writer, because you're very observant.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I like, I love it. I'm obsessed with it. And so like, that's why I think it just feels like that feels so exciting to me. And I feel like the hardest thing is when people know that maybe they want to do comedy or they want to act or something like that, but they just like can't figure out what's exciting about it.
Yeah, totally.
And that doesn't mean that there's like not something exciting about it, but I think it's just like it has to come from a place of like
authenticity.
Yeah,
like an obsession with it personally.
Yeah,
and that shines through, like, when you write and stuff. That's why I'm saying, like, your writing is so brilliant, because you talk about things that are so specific, but they're so relatable, like applicable to everyone.
Thank you.
Which I think makes really great comedians, whether you're on TV, stand-up, whatever it may be. Because Caleb's the same way. Like, everyone I've met that I genuinely find so hilarious, yourself included, have a very specific lens that they've just observed over time. Like, it's like,
Thank you.
People can relate to it. So they laugh about it. Then they can like love it and share it and all that stuff because they can relate, which I think is great.
Well, I feel like it's so true of what you do as well. Like, not to, you know, but,
I mean, men are horrible, and that's my thread line.
Well, it's, you know, your men are horrible, but also like you are just really, really observant with it in a way that's like, it's, you're very intentional. And it's like amazing how like you do have like a new take on it with every single video that you make. Like, thanks. That's why it's like, you know, I'm watching your videos, I'm scrolling, I'm laughing, laughing, laughing. And it's not like, oh, she's saying the same thing over and over again. It's like, no, I'm learning. I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy. Like, it's so I feel like it's very much coming from that place of like, if you think something is interesting and funny, other people are probably gonna
Thank you. I appreciate that. But that's why I love your content so fucking much. Like, I'm so obsessed with your videos. I think you're hilarious, and I'm so happy you came on the show.
I'm so happy. Thank this was coming. So much freaking fun.
Oh my gosh, of course. Anytime. You're welcome. Anytime.
Thank you
so much to EJ for coming on this episode of The Comment Section. Where can everybody find you?
You can follow me on like all the social medias. Like, how many are there now? My name on the ones that I do have is EJ Having Fun.
Period.
And
he is having fun.
And I am having fun. 100% of the time.
He's having fun. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I adore you.
Thank you for having
me. You're amazing. Thank you all so much for watching this episode of The Comment Section. Please make sure y'all go follow EJ on literally everything. I can't wait to see all the wonderful, amazing things you do.
Thank you.
And I'll be able to say he was on my show. He was literally on my show.
Oh my God.
Thank you all so much for watching this episode of The Comment Section. Don't forget, The Comment Section episodes come out every Wednesday. You can stream the audio on all streaming platforms, and the video lives for free exclusively on Spotify. Please stop asking me where the video lives, bitch. It's on Spotify. Just kidding. I love you so much, but please don't ask me that question anymore. I love you so much, and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much to EJ. Make sure y'all go follow him, and I'll see you on the next episode. Bye.